And we're also delighted to have again a friend of Lansdowne, a friend of each one of us, come and bring us the word today. Pastor Boyd has been Lord has called him in a bunch of different places. He has been a naval officer. He has been a practitioner. He has been a scholar. And certainly all of those things you can say is all right. But most importantly, he's a wonderful brother and servant. And we're delighted to have you bring us the word today.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the cares will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and praise. Father, we thank you for the love that humbles us, Lord, even as we come into this house. We thank you that we can share with each other our hearts. We share with each other our faith, but more than ever, we share you. So, Father, as we look at the word, we remember the joy. We think of what you suffered in order to bring that joy to us. And we ask, Lord, that we remember all the things and that we live accordingly. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It is always a pleasure to come back home to this church. I never feel like I'm a stranger or I don't belong. I always feel like coming back to a family reunion. You've got all the uncles and aunts and the crazy cousins. Well, you know about that. But I always feel like there is something that has grown in this church. I always look at those who've been here for a while and still smile. I look at the ones who evidently just found this place yesterday. They were looking for a parking place and came to the church. Hallelujah. But I realize that God has a purpose for each and every one of us. Now, full disclosure, I had another wonderful sermon for this church today. It was in my mind. I had written it. I had prepared it. I even got the PowerPoint. Ugh. But the Lord said, that ain't it. I've got something I want you to talk about that's going to make a difference. So today I want to talk about the road to peace. Did you know that there's a road to peace? It's not something that shows up as a concept. There are things you go through in order to get to peace. You can't have peace unless you've gone through some mess. You can't have peace unless you've dealt with some things that make no sense. And you're thrown around. Things are in turmoil. And then God brings you peace. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody looked at what's going on right now in the world and found out there's turmoil there? Anybody but me? Or I'm the only one that looks to see whether Martians are going to come down and take us away. Am I the only one? We have to go through some things in order to find peace. And there is a road to get there. But let me not go too far ahead of myself. First, let me put on my glasses so I can read what God has given me. Some of you younger folks don't know what these are. This is for us old folks who still haven't figured out that we need to be cool. We have to be able to see the word. When we get to a point in age, you don't care what you look like. You want to read what's on the paper, amen? Otherwise, you may say the wrong thing and somebody will say, does he know what he's talking about? No, that was just a senior moment. He'll be all right. Just give him some time. Put him in the corner. Shalom. As we would say here in the South, shalom, y'all. Shalom. Wonderful word. It's a word of greeting, commonly given among Jewish people. But it has a very comfortable feeling when it's spoken with love and authority. It means more than peace. It indicates completeness, blessings, and safety. For a world that's surrounded by war, violence, and hatred, shalom is welcome. But there is a difference between a word that's shared as a greeting and the same word given as a blessing from Jesus. I have found three essential things that are important to peace. Number one, know what Jesus said. Repeat after me. Know what Jesus said. When you know what he said, you can depend on it. But you've got to know what he said. Number two, believe what Jesus said. Repeat with me. Believe what Jesus said. It doesn't do you any good to know what he said if you don't believe it. If you met people who say all the scripture in the world, but they don't believe it, you have to believe what he said. Number three, be content with what he does in your life. I won't ask you to repeat that. That is a lifetime process to learn to be content with what God has done in your life. My assignment is found in Luke 24, verses 1 to 48. I struggle with this. Should I read every part of this? Because some of y'all ain't got your Bibles. Anybody have their Bible with them? Okay, for those of you who did not bring your Bible, I'm going to give you an assignment. Now, I have to kind of preface this with the fact that I was a Bible instructor in a Bible college, and I would give my students assignments and I would test them. I'm going to test you the next time I see you whether or not you read Luke 24, verses 1 to 48. But what I'm going to do is touch on different areas and trust that you will go back and read it. My assignment is in Luke 24, 1 to 48. I have entitled it The Road to Peace. But like the word shalom, there's a greater message in the story. Let me give you some background. Jesus has just been crucified. His body is now laid in a tomb. The disciples are scattered in fear, hiding from the rulers of the synagogue, the same rulers that Jesus would talk to, teach, and would see all the time. Roman soldiers have guarded the body of Jesus. They can't get to him. Mary and the other women have gone to the tomb on the third day and found the body of Jesus gone. But actually, in this section, they are met by two angels who remind them that Jesus is risen. The angels had to remind them of what Jesus had said. But I'm going to go to the book of John. John was a little bit clear about it. He said that Jesus actually met Mary and told her to go back and speak to the disciples. Has anybody ever read that part? So I'm looking at this, even though Luke was very detailed in the way that he presented the gospel, he forgot to mention some details. Now, Luke is the only one that talks about the story, so I can forgive him for that. But there are some details. John was a little bit more clear. John said that he and Peter ran, and John won the race. And they came back, and they told the other disciples. But we enter this story with two disciples who are walking on the road to Emmaus. They're discussing the current events of Jerusalem as they understand it. For the sake of time, let's give a summary of this, since you had not read it. A, there is a discovery, verse 1 and 2. The body of Jesus is gone. Then there's an announcement. Mary and the others told of the good news. Then there's a sharing. Verses 9 to 12, Mary shares the good news with the disciples. But here's something funny. While they were sharing the good news, they remembered the words of Jesus. That's in verse 8. But the disciples did not believe the words of the women. Is that a problem today? Ladies don't agree, just kind of look up here like it's never happened. Even today, when the words of the Lord are given by a woman, it is seen as not quite real. We've got to get past that, because the Bible's already shown us that when the Lord comes, he will bring good news and truth through a woman. Ladies, wave your hands. Look at your husbands and say, yeah, I told you, see, it's just been confirmed. There is a purpose for that, and that is because men are made differently. Men are used to getting work done. You give me a list, I'm going to get that list done. But if you happen to tell me that there's something crucial I left out, I'm going to ignore you until it falls apart. And then I'm going to blame you because you should have told me before. Men and women are made differently. Thank you, Lord, that he put us together. And by the way, we are soon going to have a wonderful event in the next week, I believe, where two of our family will be married. They've already been counseled by my wife and I. We've already given them the good news and the bad news. So all y'all who ain't married, just ignore it, you know, just anyway. The next thing, there's a discussion. Verses 13 and 14, two of them traveling to Emmaus, talking about all the things that had happened. Now, isn't that like people? They don't want to talk about the truth. They want to talk about all the things that had happened. The Lord told them what needed to be done. But they're talking about all the events that had happened in life. I note two things in here. They're traveling to Emmaus. Emmaus means hot springs. Hot springs. A place of comfort. All the rest of the disciples are in Jerusalem. They are concerned that they might be captured, killed. But these two are going to hot springs. Do you see any problems with that? How many of us in the midst of challenges run away and go to a place of comfort? How many of us? In the middle of things that happened in life, sometimes God wants you there in that uncomfortable place, not to hot springs. Number two, Emmaus is only 7 miles away from Jerusalem. 7 miles. But it is a place of safety for the disciples. They can see them coming. It will take them a while. As a matter of fact, if they are walking at a pace of 20 miles, over 20 minutes per mile, it will take them 2 hours to reach Emmaus. How many of us here can still walk at a pace of 20 minutes per mile? I know the young folks can, but how many of the rest of you can walk 20 minutes per mile? So they had to be leisurely walking and talking and discussing, coming from Jerusalem, making their way to Emmaus. And then this happens. Jesus enters the conversation. Verses 15 to 24. And when he enters the conversation, he reset their focus. It was no longer on what had happened, but it was now on Jesus. Because Jesus remembered, and he made them to remember. And when he entered the conversation, he also reset their understanding. Verse 32, he also reset their understanding of the truth. Let me touch on this for a second. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? The one whose name was Cleophas answered and said, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you known the things, not known the things which happened here? And Jesus said to them, what things? And he said to them, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. Jesus had enough. What do we see here but a pity party? What do we see here but somebody looking at the negative parts rather than the good news that Jesus is alive? And Jesus said, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Jesus makes sure that we remember what he said. These are not just words. Hebrews says that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we're dealing with the words of the Lord, we have to make sure that we are remembering them, absorbing them into our life, because they are the way of life. But then Jesus comes in after the disciples are told the truth. And he walks in and he says to them, Shalom. Actually, when he's there, he says, peace be to you. Not shalom, but he uses the word irene, which is a quietness, a rest, a setting aside back again. Even though peace is used 427 times, Jesus says something else. The news has been received. Jesus is alive. And the disciples are discussing what happened. And Jesus said, hush. That's the word that's used, irene. Hush. Pay attention. And he begins to teach them again what he had already said to them. So the disciples went from being distracted by events to being engaged in conversation to being awakened by the recognition of who Jesus is, and then finally being amazed by the peace of Jesus. Wow. You guys said you were going to keep up with me on that PowerPoint. I'm not used to using PowerPoint anymore since I don't teach that often now. I'm used to getting up and letting the power of the Holy Spirit guide me. So sometimes as I go through, I won't even look to see what the PowerPoint says. It's up to you all to take a look at that and see what it's saying. But what does this story tell us? No hands? All right, next week we are going to go back and redo this again to make sure. It was an adventure. It was a story that said, as they went through the issues, there was danger, there was intrigue. The disciples were afraid. And as they walked along, they discussed things that were not very important, and that is the things going on. How many of us here are dealing with issues right now that are taking away your peace? Come on, come on, let's be honest now. This world is not very kind to the body of Christ. It has gotten so bad that we are now fighting each other. It has gotten so difficult that even though we agree on the primary structure, we sometimes disagree in a way that we apply the Word of God. What does that do when you are in a place where you should be at peace? We come in here. We're at peace. We're home. We're with family. But what's going to happen when you walk out that door? Will that peace still continue to be with you? I pray that it will. I'm slowing down intentionally because I want to make sure that I look in your face so that you get it. The Lord wants you, yes, you, to have peace. At this day, at this time, with everything that's going on. A couple of weeks ago, we weren't sure whether or not there was going to be a lifting of the debt ceiling. And many of us were looking and saying, well, my goodness, am I going to get a check? What's going to happen? A couple of days ago, there was an almost civil war in Russia. And people were saying, what's going to happen? If Putin gets angry, is he going to send some missiles over here? And there was a collective fear. We live in an area where we have some of the largest naval bases and other activities. Guess what, folks? If there is an attack, we are in the middle of the bullseye. Are you starting to get afraid now? Well, Pastor, I wasn't when I came in here. Then you bring this stuff up. I want you to know that in the midst of reality, these are real things. There is peace because we have a Lord who takes care of us. We don't have to go along and discuss the events of what's happening. We don't have to be concerned, even if our teenagers are acting crazy. Well, wait a minute, let's stop. Let's go back. We can go back and say, nevertheless, nevertheless, God has it under control. And that's where our peace is, not because of where we live, what we do, the money we make, the education we have, but because he loves us. Look at your neighbor and say, God loves you. Look at the other one and say, I can't understand why. You know, there is a purpose for all that God does. This little story that gave us so much, and I'm going to say this, this was the tip of the iceberg. I did not give you all that was within there. If I had, my wife would be over here about to drag me off the platform. She knows I'm in the morning. She can tell you, in the morning, I was sitting over there at my little place of study, and I'm adding stuff in there, and I had my Strong's Concordance, and, Lord, I got to give it all to him. And the Holy Spirit said, If you ever want to come back and talk to them again, you'll stop. So y'all lucky. Lord, the Holy Spirit stopped me. But anyway, as we go through looking at what he said, let me give you some thoughts, because these are things, as I always tell my students, in the scripture there are always facts, truths, that we are to keep in our heart and carry with us. That is where the truth of the gospel is. Not the presentation, but the truth of what we take away. Scripture warns that in the last days there are going to be wars, rumors of wars, and widespread deception. Right after Jesus was crucified, fear and chaos attacked the truth. Right after he was crucified. Why is that important today, Pastor? Because the same thing is happening right now. Truth is being attacked. It is up to you to change that. I'm going to tell you, there's not going to be somebody coming up and saying, as of right now, if you vote me into office, truth will reign all over the land. Wait a minute, that's a good idea. Maybe I should say, if y'all vote for me right now, truth will reign all over the land. It's up to us to make sure that truth reigns in our hearts, in our homes, and in everything we are. And as this thing begins to grow, it will then take over where lies were. Truth will now reign. This is a good place to say amen. Even though y'all wouldn't vote for me, I don't care. I'll just move on. Okay. Let me give you three truths that are important. Number one, Jesus said that he would raise up his temple in 3 days. He was talking about his own temple. That is the truth. He provided a proof for it. Jesus will always prove it. He appeared to Mary at the tomb and sent her to share the good news. That was the proof. There was a problem. There's always a problem that goes with proof. The problem was they did not believe. Truth number two. Fear can disrupt faith. It doesn't matter what you believe, how much faith you have. But if you begin to let fear reign in your heart, it's going to disrupt your faith. There's going to be some uncertainty. You're not going to be sure. And somebody can come along and tell you that it is not so, even though it is so. Watch out for fear. Anybody here ever had fear? Anybody got fear right now? Fearing that this pastor's never going to quit talking. Okay, fear. Number two. Two disciples on the road discuss what they had heard, not what Jesus had said. And there's a problem. When Jesus appeared to them, they did not recognize him. That was a problem. Truth number three. Jesus will enter your life in surprising ways and bring what you need. But there's a problem. Even though he came into the room bringing peace, that was the proof. Often we don't want peace. Even in the face of turmoil, we don't want peace. We want recognition. Write these down so you can tell if it's you. We want recognition. We want power. We want wealth. We want our own selfish desires. Wow. Is that true of you? Are you willing to walk past peace in order to get your own desires? How many of you would trade in peace for $10 million? Anybody here would trade in peace for $10 billion? Trillion? How about recognition? The whole world knows you're here. Would you trade in peace for that? None of y'all lying, right? Y'all telling the truth? The Holy Spirit's watching. But see, the truth of the matter is, often we will be tempted because of our circumstances. When you get passed over, when you get fired from your job, when you don't take out the garbage and your wife threatens to take you to court and get rid of you, your peace is about to go. But then you've got to go back and change the way you see the truth. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But the truth of his word will lead us. Amen? Now I'm going to say something that most pastors say about this time. How much time do I have left? 2 more hours? Oh, we can do this. I want you to consider something. When all around you descends into chaos, everything's going bad, and you are left trying to find peace in the understanding of others, look to Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. When everybody else tells you you're wrong, you've got a narrow understanding of salvation. All y'all Christians are the same. You just want only one way. Y'all just don't know what you're talking about. When that happens, turn to Jesus. When you are really not sure how your life is going to be because you made a statement dealing with faith and you were rejected. Now, some of us, it's a way of life. I wear a hat that says truth. I advertise for my boss. And I get attacked quite a bit. We spend time in a little place called Kohl's. Anybody ever heard of that? Kohl's where you buy clothes and stuff like that. My wife loves to go to Kohl's and work the system because she's good at it. Anybody that could walk in, buy a bag full of clothes that I got to carry like this and pay $5 as a good shopper. We go to Kohl's because that's my second location, my second church. So while my wife is out shopping and looking for the diamonds, going through the clearance, by the way, clearance is my friend, and I love clearance. When she's going through there, I am in the passageway, and some of us Navy guys recognize that term. I'm in the passageway, sitting, where people are changing and going into the dressing room, because sooner or later I'm going to look across and I'm going to see somebody with a face that looks like they're beat up. The world just didn't treat me right. And they get a chance to hear from me what God can do. Now, the staff over there are used to us being there. So they know Pastor Boyd's going to be sitting in the passageway. So unless you want to hear the next sermon, Yeah, go on down and check the other areas and see what else is on sale. Because by the time I'm done, the choir will be over in the corner singing hallelujah. And there will be another one. I make sure that wherever I go, I share the word of God. I don't have enough time left on earth to be concerned about the opinions of others. I really don't. And when I see people that are dealing with issues that I know I can bring a word of joy, I bring it. Now, I've been rejected, and I praise God for that. Well, Pastor, why would you praise God for being rejected? Because if I'm rejected, then it is the way that I approach them. Now, I got to go back and work on my skills. Because I am explaining the truth and I am selling Jesus. And if I can't do that, what good am I here? Sam mentioned about me being a Navy officer. I worked in healthcare. If I couldn't do my job, I was useless. The chiefs told me about it. No, let me stop. In healthcare, doctors run the systems, but nurses are the ones that will let you know when you ain't doing it right. As a pastor, if I am working the word of God and I am not getting it right, it is the people outside who don't know Jesus who will let me know that I'm not in the right place. Have you experienced that? Or have most of you decided that I'm going to let the pastors do the stuff? They get paid to do that, so I'm not going to reach out and tell anybody about Jesus. That's their job. How many of you have the guts to lead somebody to a saving knowledge through Jesus Christ? Raise your hands. Those of you who raised your hands, take a look at the ones who did not. Grab them and say, come on, we're going to teach you how to explain what salvation is through Jesus Christ. It is not the pastor who has to do that. Ephesians tells us that we are to train up the saints for the work of the ministry. You do the work of the ministry. But I digress. Let me get on back here. I see you. I've only got an hour left, right? All right, thank you, Lord. All right. Look to Jesus. When Jesus enters the situation, he brings four very important things: revelation, inspiration, direction, and peace. Some of y'all ain't writing. You're going to fail the test. He brings four things: revelation. He reveals himself to you. He reveals the truth. He reveals the word. He reveals his Father. Revelation. He brings inspiration. He lets you know that you are not too tired to do the work. He inspires you to continue doing the work. He brings direction. Some of the biggest problems we have in churches is that churches get in and they run in circles, chasing each other and the wrong things. But not so in this church, amen? Amen? We know what we're here for. What is the name of this church? Say what?
Restoration.
Restoration. What's a restoration? When you've been broken down and you don't know which way to go, God can restore. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. The Baptist came out for a second. It'd be all right. Help me, Holy Spirit. Somebody's supposed to be up here wiping my brows. Yeah. Restoration. We all get torn down. We all need to be restored. We all have done things that are not right. But my Bible says that he restores us. And the name of this church lets you know that even now you are being restored. Every time you hear the word from this pulpit, no matter who it's coming from, the Lord is restoring you. Please, if you don't remember anything else, realize and remember that God has you in this place for a purpose. At this time, it was no mistake. You could be out camping. No, wait a minute. Let me stop. Forgive me, Pastor Ricardo. No. He's over. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. My peace I give to you. John 14:27. Only Jesus can give you peace. But it is a peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4:7 says, it is a peace that surpasses understanding. It makes no sense, except it is for you. It may not be for anybody else, but you may be living right now, sitting in a time of peace, and everybody else around you is still jumping in circles, and you're sitting there so cool. I got this one. Holy Spirit's already told me I'm all right. I ain't got to worry about that bill. That's taken care of. That is peace. When you look and you say, in another week, I'm going to be married. I mean, I was really concerned. Pastor talked to me about stuff that I wasn't ready for, but now all of a sudden I got peace. God gives you peace where you are. And for what you need. Amen? How are we doing so far? All right, let me close. Yeah, right. Peace comes through faith. Give me three things that faith has. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. 1 Peter 5:6. When you humble yourself, you don't have to worry about it because the boss has it under control. Amen? Humble yourself. Let him take care of the problem. Number two, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Don't go running. Be still. Know that I am God. And number three, have faith in God. Mark 11:22. There's a whole lot of things you can have faith in. The government, stocks and bonds. The fact that your husband said he's going to fix that door one day. You can have faith in many things. But have faith in God. He will never fail you. Those three things are crucial. Finally, when attacks become difficult to handle, don't try to escape to a place of comfort. Emmaus. Don't try to escape. Don't look for a safe place. You are where you are for a training so that you can serve him. Wow. You mean to tell me, Pastor, that the Lord still has me working over in that place where they don't like me and I don't like my boss and I don't like my job? Yes, that's right. You are sent there to be trained to do his work. And you may be the only believer that those folks where you work will ever see. And they're watching. They're watching. Are you going to lose your religion? Are you going to hold on and walk in peace? Can they look at you and say, man, the boss really beat you up? I mean, stepped on you, kicked you out, jacked you up, made you feel bad, and you just smiled. How'd you do that? See, last week he did the same thing to me, and I'm thinking about going to get a bat. Teach him some lesson, mess with me. I'm a child of God when I put a knot on his head. How did you do that? Because I am truly a child of God, I have peace. I'm all right. I know that Satan entered that boss just to test me. Could be. Is it possible? Yeah. But did Satan influence you to respond the wrong way.
Wow.
Pastor Ricardo, don't have that pastor come back anymore. Every time he comes, he brings something that kind of keeps us thinking. Anybody feel convicted right now? I'm starting to feel convicted. Honey, please forgive me. Now, I look at the stuff that God does, and I think of three things. Number one, whenever it gets bad, I want you to seek peace. Look for it. Seek peace. Hold your faith and look for Jesus. If you can do those three things, it's going to be all right. Let me give you a thought to remember directly from Luke 24:45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Holy Spirit that resides within us has the job of teaching us, preparing us, bringing us comfort, healing, so many other things. But that's something for another time. But the Lord will bring you understanding if you spend that time in the scriptures. Spend that time. It's worth it. He will open up your understanding. There's so much more in the scriptures than we can ever understand. I thought that going for a secular education was difficult. I went for my MBA and it almost killed me. But then I said, all right, I'm going to go and I'm going to really deepen my knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. And I started working on my doctorate in theology. And it did kill me. There is so much in the scripture that after a while you say, no, I give. And when I finished that doctorate, I found out I still didn't know anything. He opened my understanding. I can converse. I can look at the Greek and the Hebrew. But I still did not understand all that he has. Except when I asked the Holy Spirit to open my understanding. Father, we thank you that there's always a blessing in what you give. And if we're obedient, Lord, you will bring us to a place of understanding. And we thank you for the time that you give us. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to do something unusual. I'm going to ask that anybody who is dealing with peace right now would come up to the altar. Anybody that needs peace right now, come on up to the altar. Come on up. It doesn't matter what it is. Don't be afraid. Come on. Y'all scared? Look. Come on up to the altar. No, let's do it this way. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. This whole church is now an altar. If you won't come to the altar is going to come to you. Father, we ask right now that in this time that you bring peace to every heart, every soul, everyone, Lord, who is seeking, all those who are afraid to admit that they need peace. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit come down upon them, bless them, keep them, protect them, watch over them, Lord, and guide them into all righteousness. Bless and keep them, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.